welcome to the Tipsy Exchange, where your hosts get tipsy and exchange ideas on a specific topic.
With a few sidebars and tangents, it all depends on the tipsiness level.
We'll kick off each episode with a toast.
Feel free to join us, but please drink responsibly.
I'm Burley.
I'm LA. Now let's get tipsy.
Welcome to the Tipsy Exchange, where your hosts get tipsy and exchange ideas on a specific topic.
With a few sidebars and tangents, it all depends on the tipsiness level.
We'll kick off each episode with a toast.
Feel free to join us, but please drink responsibly.
I'm Burley.
I'm LA. Now let's get tipsy.
Hello, LA.
Hey, Burley.
So I know you haven't finished it.
Yes, I know.
But what are your thoughts on Netflix's The Sandman so far?
It's very moody.
It's very moody.
It's very, it's like visually kind of like dark.
Yeah.
You know, the sets and whatnot. He looks amazing.
Tom Sturridge looks
real
good.
Yeah, he looks perfect.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Too skinny, though.
He got so lean.
Yeah.
Like whenever he's in the cell and just can see every muscle, every fiber.
But from what I've seen so far, I like it. I mean, the great actors.
Corinthian looks real good, too.
Yeah, he always does.
I know I shouldn't want it, but
I know it's so bad.
It's so bad.
I mean, but it's
Boyd Holbrook.
Yeah, I mean, he looks real good.
The more tongues to lick you with.
But no, I like it so far.
I do, too.
I was excited this last episode that I just watched to see Gwendolyn Christie. Finally, because I love her.
Yes. And I finished it. So I got to see Stephen Fry.
Oh,
and
nice.
And that's my number one complaint. There was not enough Stephen Fry. Aww. I needed more Gilbert. Like, it just left me wanting more of him. Aww. I wish they had done more. And his chemistry with the actress who played Rose was perfect. Aww. I cannot wait for you to get to those episodes.
Okay.
I needed more of it, though, is literally my only complaint of the series.
Oh, okay.
Any of it matters. Well, today we're going to be talking about something that has to do with the Sandman.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let's kick it off with a toast. I have a quote from Dream. It is sometimes a mistake to climb. It is always a mistake never even to make an attempt.
Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that Dream.
That Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. Do you think Dream ever smiles?
He does some smirks on occasion.
He's so serious.
He's so serious. Oh, I really can't wait until you get to the episodes with Desire. Oh, my God.
Well, when I was listening to the audiobook, that was like my favorite kind of relationship.
But the actor who plays them is just her.
Oh, cuz I really liked the audiobook that it was what's her name?
It wasn't a girl.
Oh, then I'm thinking of the wrong one then. Who's his sister?
You're thinking Death.
Yep.
Thinking of Death.
That makes sense.
The actress kills the death part too. She does really well in the death role.
Okay.
She does, but I'm talking specifically about Mason Alexander Park's Desire.
Okay. My bad.
They are so sexy.
Oh, okay.
So sexy. Wears a suit and just has it open in the middle.
Oh.
But like red lipstick and eyeliner and hair back. Just
fabulous.
Fabulous. Very sexy. Very, very sexy.
Okay.
Just a quick little recap of some Sandman knowledge for our listeners who have no idea what we're talking about. So after many delays and being in production hell for years, The Sandman Season 1 pilot episode begins with the titular character explaining who he is, the King of Dreams, who rules over the land of the dreaming since he, Dream, creates the dreams and nightmares mortals experience when not in the waking world. The series opens up, flows beautifully alongside a man in 1916 who's falling asleep in a car on his little journey to somewhere that we don't know of yet. He is Dr. John Hathaway, and he is on his way to meet a client. But we don't know that as it's showing like the land of the dreaming, the special effects.
Mm.
cinema quality.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And so they're in England, and Dr. Hathaway, we find out, is going to meet Sir Roderick Burgess. And Hathaway is hesitant, and it turns out that he has a book because he worked for the Royal Museum. And this book has spells in it that Sir Roderick Burgess wants, and he's been kind of harassing Hathaway about wanting to get the book. And the reason Hathaway is finally caving is because his son has passed away in the war, and Roderick Burgess has promised that he can bring his son back from the dead if he will bring him this book. So mm-hmm. he's finally caving and bringing the book. So the purpose of the book is that Robert Burgess wants to capture one of the Endless, Death mm-hmm. in particular. But there are others in the Endless, including Dream. And that is who they accidentally capture. Now, in the series specifically, Dream is trying to track down a nightmare that escaped the dream world. And we see him talking to the Corinthian, who is played by Boyd Holbrook, who we were just kind of gushing over a little bit. And Dream is talking to him whenever he suddenly gets kind of sucked up into like a portal. Mm-hmm. And that's because Roderick Burgess has accidentally chanted and cast a spell to catch him instead. So once Dream is captured, he explains to Roderick Burgess how his imprisonment has led to the sleepy sickness.
Does he actually say that?
I don't think he says that per quote.
Okay.
But they like tell us about it as they're explaining in the audiobook and in the comic book. They tell us about it by showing different characters, and they do that in the series as well. They kind of show that. The little girl falling asleep and the parents trying to wake her up and she's not waking, and it is kind of showing that things are not right, right? That things are going wrong here because one of the Endless has been captured and is powerless, and it's affecting all the mortals that the Endless serve. And I could not believe it whenever I found out very recently that the sleepy sickness was real.
I mean, come on. For real?
Yes.
When?
Same time, just after the end of World War One.
I wonder if that's
what, like 1915, 1916.
I wonder if that's like what expired. I wonder if that's what inspired him to like create this whole.
I mean, I would imagine so. Neil Gaiman's incredibly intelligent.
I mean, yeah. Like, it's funny because I was talking about George R. R. Martin with my uncle because he hasn't watched the series.
Yeah.
And I was telling him how like he created the whole map of their land, the lineages going back like thousands of years, and how he can maintain and keep up with them. He's like, got all these stories. I was like, he has to be a genius. And same with Neil Gaiman. Like, all these different stories coming into like, but they're all connected and everything. And I don't know, just like that imagination is like crazy to me. I wish.
Right. Like if you were like psychic and you could just go walk around in someone's brain.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I would love to walk around in Neil Gaiman's brain.
Yes.
Yeah. And I hope he hears this. You hear that? You hear that, Neil Gaiman? I want to walk around.
Or hey, let's have a bottle of wine and chat.
Right? Let's have a tipsy exchange with Neil Gaiman.
That would be amazing.
Oh my gosh. Would love it.
I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd be like, I'd probably just sit there and let you do all the talking per usual.
I'd just sit there and let him do all the talking. Are you kidding me?
True, true, true.
I would love that. And his voice is wonderful. He has an excellent cadence. So that would be a nice experience on multiple levels.
So wait, so... Oh, well, and didn't he write you one time when you...
Like, well, he wrote us. He wrote us when we did our episode on The Sandman in season one, and we were saying, oh, the show's going to release before the end of the year. He was kind enough to tweet us and be like, no.
Oh, I remember that. You're wrong. You were so excited,
You're wrong. It's not going to be out before the end of the year.
But I love that he, like, interacts with the fans and whatnot. I mean, even if they're bashing him.
I don't know how he has the time. The man must not sleep. He must not sleep. He's on Tumblr too, responding to people on there as well.
Oh my, I didn't even think Tumblr was still around.
Anyway.
Sorry, we really went off on a Neil Gaiman tangent there.
He's fabulous. Yes. He's wonderful.
I'm not mad about it.
He's one of the good ones. So, just after the end of World War One, a bizarre disease known as the sleepy sickness or lethargic encephalitis devastated millions of people
really?
Across the world and left doctors puzzled for decades afterwards. Yeah.
So did this happen and it happened like all at the same time across the world?
No, it happened. It was like gradual. For years. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't say it was gradual, but it was like a lot. According to some sources, around 1 million of those affected by the disturbing illness died.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was wondering, like, if it was like just like one day it was just like. No. Afflicted everybody.
It didn't happen one day like with Sandman, where it seems to happen fairly suddenly, but mm-hmm. like a normal illness, like it took time.
Okay.
And other people, if you didn't die, there were people who were transformed like literally into living statues.
What?
Yeah, girl. And they spent the rest of their lives basically trapped inside their bodies and locked in institutions like speechless and motionless.
So, but
like almost catatonic, you know?
And so, but like their eyes were open and everything?
Yeah, some of them.
How weird.
Okay. Some of them were. And so some of the finest scientific minds of the past 100 years have tried to provide the answers to what exactly caused the horrifying disease mm-hmm. or how to treat it. But to date, nothing has been definitively proven. And the sleepy virus remains one of the biggest medical mysteries of history.
So how long did it go on? It's not still around, right?
Well, no.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm jumping forward.
So like the dancing mania that we covered earlier this season, it's kind of a similar thing. That it's just like the sickness.
Phenomenon.
That just kind of happened. Phenomenon. And yeah, phenomenon. That like phenomenon they just don't phenomena? Really know what happened.
Phenomenon or phenomena?
Phenomena is plural, I think.
Okay.
And phenomenon is singular.
Okay.
I think. Trust you. Like I get confused with those two. I get confused with like alumna.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's what? I think alumni is the plural. Uh-huh. Alumnus is male. Alumna is female. Oh, which okay. Why do we have to gender so many things?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like there's some languages where they don't have genders at all. And I imagine it would be so much easier to learn that language.
Right.
I don't like hard words.
I don't like hard words.
So the brain illness spread around the globe at the same time as the Spanish flu pandemic that killed over 50 million people, which explains why the sleeping sickness epidemic has been largely overlooked by history.
Well, yeah.
Despite the fact that it still killed like a million people.
I wonder if it's like a mutation of the Spanish flu.
Maybe. You know? And it came about kind of on the tail end of it. So it makes me kind of be like, oh, are we about to see it happen again?
Oh, God, I hope not. We've had enough.
They still haven't opened the sarcophagus under Notre Dame.
Oh, they haven't yet?
They need to do it. Let's get it over with.
They probably have. They're just trying to figure out how to tell us what's in there.
Let's just open it up. Let's get it over with. Let's have Arrow go ahead and go in the ocean. Go ahead and find the dimension portal where the aliens are coming in and out of.
Who's Arrow?
It's the new Men in Black. We just covered this.
What?
We just covered this.
When?
On our last space episode.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you meant in this episode. I was like, no?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, Arrow with Fitzpatrick, remember?
Okay, I got it. Yeah. I'm with you. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how to get back to this.
No, come on.
They just need to get it over with. But okay, so here we go. So a million people dead, deeply affected the lives of millions more, right? Although most cases were reported months after World War I ended, it is believed that the epidemic began in 1915 or 1916 when soldiers who displayed incredible lethargy and confusion were examined by doctors in Paris. At first, they assumed that the main cause of these rather unusual symptoms was mustard gas, which had been used during the war. Mm-hmm. But their assumptions proved to be wrong. A neurologist from Vienna named Constantine.
Oh, it all comes together.
Constantine von Economo.
Oh,
ooh, like Economos from Peacemaker.
Oh,
just no S. Wrote a paper. I'm not going to try. Hang on. Okay, I'll try and say it. Diencephalitis lethargica.
Okay.
Was the name of the paper, in which he gave an extensive description of the illness after witnessing similar cases in civilians. So, like, civilians are having the same cases. They haven't been exposed to mustard gas. What's going on here, right? It didn't take long before his name became associated with the new disease, and lethargic encephalitis became known in Vienna as von Economo disease.
Oh.
I would like several things named after me, but diseases aren't one of them.
Yeah.
So here's a quote. So they said, "We are dealing with a kind of sleeping sickness having an unusually prolonged course. The first symptoms are usually acute, with headaches and malaise." What's malaise?
I think it's like it's like lethargic, I think.
Okay, that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Then a state of like solemnness.
No energy.
Solemnness.
Solemnness?
Somnolence. Okay. Then a state of somnolence appears, often associated with active delirium, from which the patient can be awakened easily. He is able to give appropriate answers and to comprehend the situation. This delirious somnolence, I don't know what that means. Hang on, let me
get solemnness?
No, somnolence. A state of drowsiness or strong desire to fall asleep. Okay, that makes sense. Can lead to death rapidly or over the course of a few weeks, like the delirious desire to sleep.
Oh, wow.
On the other hand, it can persist unchanged for weeks or even months, with period lasting bouts of days or even longer, a fluctuation of the depth of unconsciousness extending from simple sleepiness to deepest stupor or coma.
Oh, my God.
So that was what Economo wrote in his classic description published in 1917.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Several years after von Economo published his paper, the horrifying epidemic began marching from house to house, taking its toll in human lives and leaving millions of people trapped in their own bodies.
So it was contagious.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Because how else did it spread?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it became contagious somehow.
How bizarre.
Encephalitis lethargica literally translates to brain inflammation that makes you tired. But as mentioned above, it was commonly known as sleepy sickness. Most accounts state that over one third of those infected died, while around 20% survived, but were more or less dependent on professional care. Like they were the living statues things. And sadly, less than one third made full recoveries from the sickness.
Wow.
It affected people of all ages, but the most vulnerable to the disease were young people between 15 and 35 years of age, which is weird because normally with diseases, like that group would be good.
Right.
Like it would normally be people like infants and elderly.
Mm-hmm.
From what is known, the initial stages of the infection were no different than that of flu infection, a high fever, headache, feeling tired, runny nose. There was no way for the infected to know that he or she was battling a deadly disease, which gave the virus just enough time to spread into the brain.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like nervous. I'm like, because I've been real tired.
Oh, my God. I was about to say, I think I might have it.
Yeah. Like since like the whole pandemic stuff has happened, I cannot seem to get energy and energized again.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's just from sitting on my ass for basically 2 years.
For sure, yeah.
But then I'm reading about all this stuff and I'm like, oh no, please don't be this. So von Economo did autopsies and he determined that one of the main causes of death was a swollen hypothalamus. The hypothalamus. Like a,
what is it? Swelling of the brain?
Oh, yes. No, the But the hypothalamus is like specifically a small section of the brain that has a vital role in controlling many functions, among which is sleep. The inflammation of the hypothalamus caused by the infection led to damage of that section of the brain, and that's what proved fatal to so many people. About 10 years after von Economo published his description of the disease, the epidemic just began to disappear.
How weird.
I mean, still a decade.
Yeah, but it just, like, died out, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't come up with a vaccine or anything. While many scientists were convinced that it was just a disease of the past trapped somewhere between the pages of history, virologist Professor John Oxford thought that the game was not yet over. He told the BBC, "I certainly do think that whatever caused it could strike again. And until we know what caused it, we won't be able to prevent it from happening again."
Well, yeah.
So it did strike again, just as Professor John Oxford predicted in 1993.
What?
Right?
What? They were alive.
And here's what's crazy is that Sandman was already out by then.
Oh, wow.
At least I think it was. Hang on, let me make sure I'm right about that. Yeah, it was. It started in January 1989.
Oh, wow. 93. Okay.
So, yeah, a young girl named Becky Howells was diagnosed. Becky Howells was diagnosed with the largely forgotten disease, and it took several years before she recovered. Since then, more cases have appeared. And with the help of his colleagues, Professor Oxford was able to point out the similarities between the patients. Ooh. It was concluded that many of the patients had sore throats before the disease struck.
Sorry. You just talked about phlegm and it's like a...
Which, according to research conducted by doctors Russell Dale and Andrew Church, was due to a rare form of streptococcus bacteria.
Strep throat.
They noted that the massive immune reaction to the bacteria caused the immune system of the infected to attack the brain, resulting in brain damage. Oh, wow. It was a groundbreaking discovery, but it hasn't been definitively proven that the rare form of strep is the cause of the disease.
Hmm.
Research continues, and for now, encephalitis lethargica remains one of the biggest medical mysteries of all time.
That's crazy. So my cousin gets strep a lot. Knock on wood. I don't think I've ever had it.
I've had it.
Yeah?
I've had strep before. It's been a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had it. And if you Google the disease and you look at pictures of people,
mm-hmm.
it's so creepy.
Really? Oh, I don't want to look at it.
Because some of the people are stuck in weird poses. And I'm like, how did that happen? How did you get stuck? Like I remember seeing pictures of people who had catatonic schizophrenia, I think, where they'll like hold weird poses.
Yeah.
And that's what some of the pictures looked like.
Weird.
But I'm curious. I mean, I imagine Neil Gaiman knew about this.
Oh yeah. Had to. Yeah.
Whenever he wrote The Sandman, because yeah. it's one of the first things that happens in Sandman is that he exactly. gets captured and this sleepy sickness takes over the world. And the year is the same as 1916, 1915, mm-hmm. something like that. So surely Neil Gaiman mm-hmm. knew about this. But I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, my God, that's crazy.
I didn't know it was real. And the fact that it's on the tail end of the Spanish flu, I thought that yeah. was kind of scary.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh. What do we do to prevent it?
They don't know. They don't know what caused it for sure. They can't tell us.
I don't want it.
I don't want it either. There aren't many diseases I can think of that I would want.
I don't want any of them.
Can't think of a single one.
No. Why would you?
I don't need my hypothalamus swollen.
No. No, thank you.
I have plenty of other things going on in my brain.
Yeah.
That take up way too much of my time.
That's so weird. And then it makes you wonder, it's like, were they aware of what was going on around them? Did they hear people? Like,
were they conscious?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they were frozen, if you ask them questions, could they talk?
Well, I guess nowadays they could, like, do an MRI to see if their brain
right,
is
put
reacting.
The little sticker yeah. things to see if there's brain activity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I hope it doesn't come back so that isn't even an issue, but at least we're more advanced now.
I mean, it's scary that it was around in 1915, 1916, yeah. and it lasted for roughly a decade, right?
Yeah.
And then it came back in 1993.
Yeah.
Oof. And they don't know what caused it. They have theories,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know.
Another thing to worry about.
Right?
Damn.
Anyway, if you haven't watched The Sandman yet.
Watch it.
On Netflix. You should watch it.
Yeah.
And you'll have that fun fact. You should make a friend watch it with you. And in the first episode, whenever people start falling victim to the sleepy sickness, you'll be able to say, hey, guess what? That really happened.
I like that it's called the sleepy sickness.
Sleepy sickness. So to take it out, I have a quote from the fabulous Mindy Kaling.
Oh, I love.
There is no sunrise so beautiful that it is worth waking me up to see it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Tipsy Exchange.
Want to hear more? Please leave a review, then visit thetipsyexchange.com to sign up for emails.
You can also follow us on your preferred listening apps, as well as Twitter or Instagram.
Until next time,
cheers! Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Tipsy Exchange.
Want to hear more? Please leave a review, then visit thetipsyexchange.com to sign up for emails.
You can also follow us on your preferred listening apps, as well as Twitter or Instagram.
Until next time,
cheers!